today as we come to the table.
And this is really the challenge of today. Are we about the Father's business? And if we are about the Father's business, are we about the Father's business by the leading of the Spirit or by the leading of us? You know, I think that it's very easy to be very enthusiastic and be very excited about what we're going to do for Jesus. And oftentimes it's based in the Word of God. It's based in truth. It's based in a heart that wants to do what's right. But the question is God doing it? And I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out and tried to do something before the Lord told me to, or maybe something the Lord didn't even tell me to do, and fallen flat on my face. Because unless God's telling us to do it, guys, it's not going to be fruitful.
The first question Pastor Mark asks today is, are you about the Father's business? Are you doing the things you want to do or the things He has called you to do? And the next question is, if you are about the Father's business, are you doing it in His way and His timing, or are you racing ahead or falling behind? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark reminds us today that when we do our own thing, or even the Father's thing, but on our own timeline, we often end up falling flat on our faces. Take a moment today and look at what you're doing. Are you following the lead of the Spirit? If you aren't, line yourself up with His direction once again. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 1 as he begins his message, Doing the Father's Business in the Power of the Spirit.
Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 9, and then we'll go back and look at it. Notice it says, Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, we thank you that even as you were taken back up into heaven, what we're going to see today, Lord, you're coming back. And we believe your return is very soon. And not just coming in the rapture of the church to take us, Lord, and to take us into the kingdom with you, Lord. You're coming back to rule and reign and establish your throne in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And God, how we long for that day. And Lord, we can only imagine what it must have been like for the disciples to see you and to see you ascend back into heaven. And Lord, just to realize you're coming back in glory. And as they come back with you this next time, God, we're going to be with them as well. And it's exciting. And Father, I pray as we get into your word today and as we see this whole scene of you traveling back into heaven, Lord, and God, we see what it is that we're supposed to do while we're here before we get to heaven. Lord, let us be focused. Yes, Lord, let us rejoice and gaze on heaven. But God, help us to make sure that we're also gazing upon what you've called us to do here on this earth, because there is a lot of work to do before you come back. Lord, you may come today. I don't know. But Lord, we have a lot of work that is yet to be done. There are people that don't know you, God. There are things to be done in your name, and we want to be about our Father's business. So I pray you would just convict us today. I pray you would teach us today. God, I pray you would help us to be about our Father's business. And Lord, that we would do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, we left in a pretty exciting place. Remember last week, Jesus was about to ascend back up to heaven. He'd taken his disciples. They went up to the Mount of Olives and in the Bethany area. And the Lord was giving them their final instructions, saying, look, guys, I'm going back up. I'm going to be ascending to the Father. You guys, wait here. Remember they said, is the kingdom going to be established now? The Lord said, no, not yet. You don't worry about that. The times and seasons are in my hands. You just wait here until the Spirit comes, and I'm going to use you. There's work to be done. You've got to be about the Father's business. And so what happened? The Lord begins, you know, to leave them that message and to tell them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And then today, that's where we take up. And really, the subject today, and I gave it a title, is Doing the Father's Business in the Power of the Spirit. And this is something that, again, I can't stress enough to you guys, because I speak from experience of somebody who's really blown it in this area. I think all of us want to serve the Lord and do the Father's business, don't we? I bet if I was to do a survey and move around the room and say, do all of you guys want to do the Father's business? I bet everyone in here would say, yes, I want to do the Father's business. Now, maybe somebody visiting, maybe you don't know the Lord, maybe you don't care about that yet, there may be one or two, but most of us would say, yes, I want to be about the Father's business. But guys, the question is, and this is really the challenge of today, are we about the Father's business? And if we are about the Father's business, are we about the Father's business by the leading of the Spirit or by the leading of us? You know, I think that it's very easy to be very enthusiastic and be very excited about what we're going to do for Jesus. And oftentimes it's based in the Word of God. It's based in truth. It's based in a heart that wants to do what's right. But the question is God doing it? And I can't tell you how many times I've stepped out and tried to do something before the Lord told me to, or maybe something the Lord didn't even tell me to do, and fallen flat on my face. Because unless God's telling us to do it, guys, it's not going to be fruitful. Now, there's a balance. I'm not saying sit back and do nothing. I think it's a lot better to step out and begin to serve, begin to minister, and let God lead you where it is He wants you to go than sit back and do nothing. But also, we have to be very careful that when we're stepping out, you know, that we want to step out in the name of the Lord, following His Spirit. I think this is especially dangerous for young pastors, and I think anybody that's just fresh getting into ministry and they really want to serve the Lord, because we want to take our city. We want to do this for Jesus. We're going to go, we're going to convert the nation. We're going to march around Knoxville 7 times or whatever. And I've heard of churches doing that. Listen, I kid you not. Maybe not marching around Knoxville, that would be hard, but marching around portions of Knoxville. And I see nothing wrong in that. I think that's very symbolic. I think that pleases the heart of the Father because He goes, you know what? They're wanting to serve me. They want to see me break down walls. They want to see me do great things. Here's all I'm saying. If it is not the Lord that's doing it, it's going to be fruitless. What does the scripture say? Unless the Lord builds the house, we what? We labor in vain. I'll never forget, you know, years ago when we wanted the building project to start like right now. See, we're going to talk about Peter in just a minute and Peter being a little bit impatient, but I understand that. And I can associate with Peter. The sad thing is, in all the bad ways, I associate with Peter, you know. The lack of faith, you know, getting ahead of God, all these things. I go, I'm right with you, Pete. You know, we're buds, okay? Now, I don't want to pick on him because he always ended up doing well and shining at the end of all that, you know, and hopefully I will as well by the time it's all done. But I can associate with those things, and I can remember really just trying to make it happen. Lord, do this, do that. And I remember being on the property one day and just praying, and I turned the radio on. Of course, you can guess what station, 101.1. But anyway, and this guy says on there, unless the Lord, and I'm praying, God, you know, what we're trying, it's the doors are closed. And this is like years ago. Why aren't the doors opening for us to build our first building? We just want our own home, Lord, and we want to quit paying rent. We want to, you know, all these things. And the scripture, the guy says, unless the Lord builds that, right after I turned it on, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain to build it. And I knew it then, God was saying, I'm going to do it, but wait on me. I've got to do it in my timing. I've got to do it my way. And when I do, you know, I'm going to move mountains. I'll take care of it, you know. And I remember getting excited to hear God say that. Excited in one way because I felt God encouraged me that He was going to do what He, you know, He was going to do this thing, but He was going to make me wait and do it in His timing. I didn't know how long that wait would be. But I remember calling up Tracy on the phone because we'd been talking about this. And right when I called her up on the phone, I said, you're not going to believe what I just heard on the radio. She said, yes, I will. I just heard the same thing. And she was listening to the radio as well early that morning, which, you know, again, in itself is a miracle. No, I'm just kidding. That's not a miracle. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. It came out. She forgives me. She loves me. She's not a morning person, okay? So you've heard some of her personal family stuff. Anyway, how do you get out of this? Lord, now I need you more than ever, you know. I'm digging out of this hole, you know. But anyway, we both heard it. We both heard it, and it was like, you know what, you're right, just wait on me. And that's one thing that neither she and I like to hear. You know, typically, I have found in husbands and wives, they typically are strong in the area the other one's weak. You kind of help you, and that has been true for the most part with Tracy and I, but there's one area that we're both weak, and that is patience. And that doesn't help things a lot. But we're both anxious to see God do things, and here's the thing, though. It comes from a heart of wanting to see God move. The heart is right. The desire is right. The Word of God says, go for it. So all those things line up. The problem is that we have to wait on God's timing on when to go, or it's going to be fruitless and it's not going to work. And that is probably the hardest lesson. Even if you're a person that does waiting pretty good, that's a hard lesson to do. It's a hard lesson to learn. Peter is still learning that lesson. The Holy Spirit has not yet been given. They're waiting on the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that Peter is going to get impatient, saying, God, you know, we need to move now. Right now is the time to move. And sometimes now is the time to move. Sometimes it's time to wait. But that's the sensitivity to the Spirit. And that's what we're going to see in one of the lessons that we have got to learn. And I'm telling you, it only comes by prayer and by the Word. Prayer and the Word. If you're in prayer and you're in the Word, God will say, you know, just hang on. Hang on. If you're not, you're just going to go and do it. And it ends up being a big mistake. And again, the same thing is going to be true with Peter today. Now, again, so the two things, there's going to be two main areas we're going to look at. It's not just the waiting on the Lord, but we need to make sure that we also are doing the Father's business. So it's that balance of doing the business and yet at the same time waiting on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, we're going to break today up into two sections. Section number one, the first few verses are going to be simply this, and that is we need to be about the Father's business. And then the part two we're going to go into is we need to let the Spirit lead us in the Father's business. All right, you with me? So it's doing the work of the Father. Some of you guys have that heart. You're burning inside to do something for God. That's good. Nurture that. Feed that. That's of the Lord. But now seek the Lord in the power of His Spirit, in His timing as to how to do it. And that's where we take up. So the Lord just told them, wait. As we get to verse 8, remember He said the last thing He told them, now, I want you to wait for the Spirit to come upon you, and then when the Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power, and you'll be ready to go. And now we take them in verse 9, with that being the backdrop, into doing the work of the Father's business, and this, really, the Lord ascending back into heaven is how the Lord's going to teach them this. Notice verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, that is Jesus, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now, what an amazing thing this would have been. Can you imagine watching the Lord and all of a sudden He's talking to you and He begins to float? And as He's floating up, all of a sudden He starts going up in heaven and you're there gazing. And notice what happens here. It says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, try to get this scene in your mind. Well, let me read that last verse. Who said to Him, notice this, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go. Now again, try to picture the scene. You're standing there with the Lord, and all of a sudden He begins to float up to heaven. And literally it says they gazed steadfastly. They were gazing in heaven. It means they were just staring. I mean, it gives this picture of just locked. You're like, whoa. And you can imagine if you're watching this miracle before your eyes. The Lord's floating up into heaven. You're locked. Your jaw's probably hanging open going, oh, wow, you know, as the Lord's going up. And all of a sudden, these angels show up, right? These two men in white. And they say, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, stop gazing up into heaven with your mouth hanging open, right? You know, just like the Lord, when He's going to come back. Now, I don't know about you, but first of all, I tried to imagine staring at the Lord, you know, slowly floating up. And these two guys show up. It'd have been like, ah, you know. I mean, you think of the miracle of the Lord going up. What about these two angels there? That would have freaked you out, right? And so you probably would have frozen and gotten real stiff and looked at them with just your eyes moving, going, what are these guys going to do, right? You know that feeling? And they say, why are you staring up into heaven? My first thought would have been, why aren't you? I mean, you're an angel, right? You see this every day. Last time I saw somebody float up, it's been a while, you know? This is like, wow, you know? But their angels are making a point. Listen, I think God was doing something right here by the Holy Spirit that these guys needed to hear. Sure, we expect them to gaze into heaven. We all would have been gazing into heaven. But by startling them out of that, and these two angels show up in the shock and they freeze, and there's these guys there and these angels saying, don't do that. God was making a point. Listen, I know that heaven's glorious. I know that that's our end result. I know we all want to go there and we all want to gaze up into, you know, that's kind of the goal of where we're going. But there's work to do here. This isn't done yet. You're not dead yet. You have a little bit more. Somebody's saying, yeah, but I'm mostly dead. You're not dead yet. God can still use you and God will use you. And you know what, guys? We need to be about our Father's business. And I believe this is something they wouldn't have gotten right then. But I think that over time, the disciples, as they thought about this, would have realized, you know what? We are excited to go to heaven with the Lord, but He hasn't taken us yet. And we have work to do here. There is still a job to do while we're here. We need to be about the Father's business. And that really is our first challenge this morning, guys. Are we gazing up into heaven? And I understand that. I desire heaven as well. And I think we need to be, you know, loving the Lord and ready to go. But are we about our Father's business? Honestly, if you were to ask yourself right now, what are you doing? Are you gazing off in the future and thinking about the day you'll be in heaven with the Lord and the streets of gold and all that? Are you realizing, you know what? Right now, we have to get our hands and feet dirty on this earth and do the work of the Father. I talk about doing the work of the Father. Remember Jesus. He's the one that said that. The family had gone to a feast down in Jerusalem. And remember, they would travel in large groups. It could be as many as 40, 50, 60 people, all the cousins, all the families. You would all travel down together for the big feast or whatever. And the feast they had every year, the Lord was down there. Well, they all left in their big entourage and the Lord stayed. And they didn't notice the Lord gone because it was a big entourage. And so about a day into it, they're like, hey, have you seen Jesus? Well, no. Have you seen him? Where's Jesus? So Mary, being the mother she is, Jesus only 12 years old, probably a little bit of mother panic going on. I think if I misplaced God, that would be, something first of all, I'd be concerned about. But number two, I probably wouldn't panic. I think he can handle himself. But Mary didn't, I'm being silly. But they go back. They go to the Temple Mount. There's the Lord, reasoning with all the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that. And they say, where have you been? We've been looking everywhere. Like the mom that finds the kid in the mall, right? Where have you been? I was looking at Toys R Us. Well, you should have stayed with us, not Toys R Us, right? Now, and yet Jesus, where is he? He's in the temple. Where have you been? He said, don't you understand? Don't you know I need to be about the Father's business? Wow. Is that not convicting? Because here's what that says, guys. If Jesus is supposed to be about the Father's business at 12 or any age, what are we supposed to be doing? Is it just Jesus that's supposed to be about the Father's business? Or is it us that's supposed to be about our Father's business? It's us. And I believe the angels in this whole scene here, yeah, they're trying to get their attention, but listen, stop gazing on heaven right now. I know that's going to be glorious, but there's work to do. Let's go. It's time to do the work of the Father. And so get it going and really, getting their attention here as they're staring up there. So I understand this. And notice he says, this same Jesus, interesting, the one who went up, he's going to come back the same way. And that's really cool because that's exactly how the Lord is going to come back. The Bible tells us he left visibly. Matthew 24, the Bible says he's coming back visibly, Matthew 24. Actually, here it tells us he left visibly. Matthew 24 tells us he's coming back visibly. The Bible says that he left from the Mount of Olives area. Zechariah 14:4 says he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. Remember, he's going to set his foot there and it's going to split from north to south. He's going to establish his throne there in Jerusalem. So the Lord's coming back there as well. And interestingly enough, notice it says he left in the clouds. Verse 9, a cloud received him out of their sight. The Bible says he will come back in a cloud. And guys, that's the Shekinah glory of God. The Bible talks about God dwelling in a cloud of glory. And so even as he's coming back in that cloud of glory, he left in that cloud of glory. And it's interesting because in the language, what it talks about is as he began to rise, this cloud kind of came and enveloped him and came under him. And so there the Lord is, the language says, they're watching him, and this cloud of glory just moves in under his feet and begins to pick him up, and the Lord begins to raise up to heaven in this cloud of glory. And they're like, whoa, I mean, this is awesome. Again, I understand gazing into heaven and seeing him disappear slowly back in the cloud. I wonder how long it took. And this is kind of strange. I wonder if anybody else, here's the thing. Nobody else must have been able to see this. Think about that. If there were all these people there, everybody should have been able to see, and there would have been stories written in books, and we saw some man floating back up into heaven, all these things, but nobody saw him. I find that interesting because it says as he went, he's going to come back. When the Lord comes back for the rapture, I think it's only going to be the church. We're going to know he's there. Nobody's even going to know what happened. But he's not coming all the way down to the earth at that time. When he comes all the way down to the earth, how many eyes will see him? Every eye will see him, the Bible says. So when the Lord comes back, it'll be visible to all. But I find it interesting, even as he left with his church, no one saw him but them. When he comes back, we'll be the only one that sees him until we all come down together with the Lord in his glory. And so, again, just an amazing scene here, guys. Stop gazing. I try to imagine the scene now. The scene's done. And notice it says, then they returned to Jerusalem there in verse 12 from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Can you imagine that conversation? You're kind of frozen, These angels are there. And what are you doing? Staring up in heaven, stop it. And, he's coming back the same way he left. He told you to wait on the Spirit. There's work to be done. And all of a sudden, I wonder how they disappeared, Just, they're gone. Oh, and then they all kind of get unfrozen and begin to kind of drop, that feeling. And they start walking back going, did you see? Of course I saw that. Who couldn't have seen that? He's just, wow, who are that? I had to be angels. And they just stop gazing. And, you were the one gazing. I was not you. I don't know what they were doing. And so they're walking back up there and they get to the upper room where all the other disciples are basically in hiding because they've just killed their leader and they're afraid they're going to be next. And they say, guys, you're not going to believe what happened. What? We just went with Jesus up there to the Mount of Olives and he floated up into heaven. A cloud took him and we're staring at him. And these two angels in white show up and scare us to death. And they didn't mean to, but you know, and they're like, where are you gazing at? Like, and so they told us just, you know, to stop gazing and he's coming back the same way. And I imagine, well, what do we do now? Well, what did the Lord tell us to do? He said, wait. He said, wait, okay, we're going to wait. The Lord said, wait. So we're all just going to stay here and let's just pray. And I guarantee it's probably one of the best prayer meetings of all history, right? They're praying, oh, Lord, what a great vision. What a great miracle. We're waiting on you. And you gave us instruction. You said you're going to pour your spirit out, Lord. What's going to happen? We don't know, but we're waiting on you. And that's what we talked about last week, the pouring out of the spirit. But now we get this week to the place of what do we do after that's poured out? Number one, being about the work of the Father and following the Spirit. And so here they are in this whole thing. This whole scene, you know, waiting on the Lord, and they go back, and notice verse 13, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and now list the guys that were staying there, where they were staying, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James. This is a different Judas, obviously. There was Judas Iscariot, and this is a different James. And then they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they gather back in. There are 120 of them all gathered together. Interesting, the number 120 has an implication of waiting, of a probation period, if you will, as they're waiting on the Lord. So even the Holy Spirit giving us hints that are there. And they basically just enter into this, you know, giant prayer meeting as they wait on the Lord, a great thing to do as we wait on the Lord. Now, again, it would have been very tempting to say, we need to do something. Let's do something. Right? And yet God tells them to wait, and for a while they do until Peter kicks into gear here, but we'll get to that in verse 15. But notice in 14, again, they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary. Incidentally, this is the last time we see Mary in the scripture. You're not going to see Mary again in the scripture. She kind of disappears from the pages, but again, Mary's job has now been fulfilled. Mary's job, again, was to be there to, you know, raise Jesus, if you will, even as John the Baptist was to be there to introduce Jesus. And then slowly fade into the background. What did John say? I must decrease, he must increase. Mary's job was the same. I must decrease, he must increase. And so Mary, again, disappears off the pages of Scripture because not that Mary wasn't important, but now she's done. And now the focus is to be on Jesus. But notice this last part, guys, and this is encouraging to me. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It means his family. It's not talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. They were all there. We know that. These are his literal half-brothers. Why half-brothers? Because Joseph was their real dad, and Joseph and Mary were their parents. Jesus was a half-brother because the Father in heaven was his dad, but his family. Now, why is this encouraging to me? I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus lived and was living with them, they didn't believe in him. Can you imagine living with God and not believing in him? I mean, you talk about being hard-hearted. It shows you how much pride there can be in families, doesn't it? Family pride is a big deal. It's a big thing. And it's hard for us to humble ourselves. And so they didn't even believe in him. But here's the encouraging thing. Once he died and resurrected, once they saw the evidence, they did believe. Guys, why am I saying this? Some of you have been sharing with your family for many years, your brothers, your sisters, your mom and dad, others, and they're not believing. Give God time. Wait on the Lord. Continue to pray. Jesus brought his brothers into the fold, and you know what? I believe that Jesus will bring much of our family into the fold.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Acts. This groundbreaking book is what spearheaded the Christian movement as we know it, recounting the beginnings of the church. What an incredible time it must have been, experiencing eyewitnesses of Jesus being passionate and bold in their faith. These disciples, who became apostles of the faith, are inspiring in their courage and in their sacrifice. It doesn't go without notice that all the original disciples were brutally killed for their faith or tortured and exiled. Why would these people do this? What was worth risking and even losing their lives for? Well, it's a fact that what they lived and died for was and is true to this day. Jesus came to save, and by believing in that, life here on earth doesn't hold the end all to living. Have you come to a belief in what you've heard today? We'd like to know. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what you gained from today's teaching, as well as anything we can be praying for. You can also listen to additional messages in this series and other books of the Bible in the Come to the Table section at thewaymedia.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the exciting book of Acts. We're thankful that you are a part of our listening audience today, and we look forward to you tuning in to our next edition. So come hear more from Pastor Mark next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.